Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Dear brothers and sisters, it was narrated in the seerah of the Prophet وسلم, that a woman from Al-Ansar, she went to Bani Qaynuqa jewelry market to buy some good for her. As Bani Qaynuqa, they were known with this and they were very rich. When the woman went there, she was covering her face. And while she was sitting in the shop, the Jewish people from Bani Qaynuqa, they wanted her to expose her face, but she refused. And they insist, but she refused. Meanwhile, and at the same time, another Jewish guy, he came and he tied the bottom of her clothes with the top of her clothes. When the woman stood up, her aura and honor showed up and being trespassed. And they start laughing at her. The woman starts screaming and calling for help and support. One of the Muslims, he was watching that incident. So he answered the call of his sister that she was under an attack from those people. So he went and he killed that Jewish man. Then the Jewish people of Bani Qaynuqa, they gathered around him and they killed him. When the news reached the head of the state, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do? Well, he did not invite the media, the broadcast channels. He did not invite the reporters to address the nation with a strong speech. He did not condemn that action, as they say nowadays, with all of strong objections. He did not say, we hope that this won't impact the peace process and negotiation between us and this troop. He did not talk to Ban Ki-moon to file a complaint against that tribe. He وسلم, did not call the rest of the tribes for an emergency summit to look for the best response to this action. He وسلم, did not call upon the Security Council to take an action. And he وسلم, did not say we will have a severe response, but at the right time and right place. None of these happened at all. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right away appointed Bashir ibn Abd al-Mundir as his deputy in Medina, and he right away moved the army and he put the whole tribe of Bani Qaynuqa under siege and under sanction for 15 days. He did not listen to those people like the Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, and he came and he tried to prevent Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from proceeding and taking the revenge of that sister. He did not listen to them. As a matter of fact, nowadays we are witnessing so many of Abdullah ibn Salul surrounding Gaza, surrounding Sham, surrounding all of these areas. He did not accept anything from them but to be exiled and kicked out from Medina. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this story nowadays repeats itself, but unfortunately, the first part. The first part of the story is happening nowadays. The story repeats itself nowadays in Gaza for more than 10 days in this brutal attack. As of today, more than 290 people were killed. 50 among them were killed today. Kids, women, men. This story repeats itself in the Holy Land. Destructions on the houses, in the streets, in the infrastructures. The Holy Land, the land that was opened first time by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then it was liberated by Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi radiallahu anhu after he united the Muslim, the Ummah, and after he gave the pledge to the Khalifa in Baghdad. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the responsibility to defend this land lays on the shoulders of the owners of this land. Yes, on the owners of this land. And who is the owner? Who is the owner of that holy land of Bilad al-Sham? It's the whole entire Ummah, as this is a Kharaji land. It is the responsibility of the whole Ummah to respond nowadays to defend and protect our brothers and sisters who've been killed in Gaza. This land does not belong to the Palestinians. The neck of the land does not belong to the Palestinians. No, it belongs to the whole Ummah. From the east to the earth, from the east to the west of the land of the earth, it belongs to the Ummah. The responsibility lays on the shoulder of the Ummah to protect our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Dear brothers and sisters, Gaza and Al-Sham and Waziristan and Burma, all of those countries are burning. They are burning now. What should we do? What is our responsibility? What is our actions? Brothers and sisters, without any further delays, please welcome with me Brother Khalid Daman, who will be addressing us with a talk about what's happening in Gaza under the title of Gaza is Burning, What Should We Do? Brother Khalid, please.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Jazakallah khair, brother, for the introduction there. This is a topic that I feel is something that's ongoing. I think it would have been better qualified for someone. It's in front of all the headlines nowadays. We're talking about Muslims and non-Muslims. They're all talking about this issue now more so today than they did yesterday. So inshallah, the plan here is to go over some of the current events, specifically what's been happening, and to go over what is the duty of the Muslims today towards the Muslims that are going through this hardship, inshallah ta'ala. So as we see the people in Gaza, again, they face a relentless and murderous onslaught by the Zionist entity. And we see the images emerge daily of death, of destruction. The death toll has already reached, as the brother said, over 290, and the numbers continue to rise as the bombings continue. And it's not a surprise that US and UK have committed unwavering support for the Zionist entity. It's clear to the rest of the world that it is an occupying force terrorizing the inhabitants of Gaza. So inshallah, let's jump in quickly to the current events. I know a lot of us are probably kind of hungry right now. So today was mentioned that Israel, you know, the terrorizers today, that they invaded Gaza with the troops and they killed 50 Muslims, many of them being children. The support, let's go back into history now of the formation or the declaration of the Israeli state. The support offered to the Zionist entity by Washington and London, let this be known, it's not a secret, by Washington and by London, the Zionist entity was conceived by the British, initially, the British government in the Balfour Declaration which was dated back to November 1917, was a letter from the United Kingdom's Foreign Secretary, Arthur James Balfour, to Baron Rothschild, which was the second Rothschild, a leader of British Jewish community, for transmission to the Zionist Federation of Great Britain, and has been nurtured and strengthened by the West for decades for their national interests. They will doubtlessly try their best to resume the so-called roadmap. That they define this, this, I guess you could say, this path as a roadmap to a two-state solution. You know, we brought somebody, one of the brothers, you know, there was a plan to bring the Palestinian flag, but I don't want to disrespect the flags behind me. So we know what it looks like, right? So that's one path. They want to have the Palestinian flag, and they want to have the Palestinians have their country with the Palestinian laws and the Palestinian God, right? And on the other hand, they want to have Israel as a state. So what this means is that this benefits the national interest of the kuffar, the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the enemies of this ummah. This serves their benefits. So then what about for us then? What about the Muslims? This is nothing more than institutionalization, imprisonment, subjugation, killing, and murderous crimes. So inshallah, let's go quickly to current events. One rehabilitation hospital, Al-Wafa, near Gaza City, a handful of doctors and nurses were going around the patients, and they were worried, they were already hurt. So they're worried, how do we protect them from getting hurt more? Not to cure them. How are we going to protect them from getting hurt more? So they're hovering around them, trying to cover them and making sure they're okay. And as they lie in their beds, as the staff was moving the people room to room, Israel was bombing rockets while they were trying to move them from room to room. The staff appealed to international agencies for protection and say the hospital is known to the Israeli army, meaning Israel knows about the hospital and they're complaining about this. And no one's doing anything, so then they attack again and then they say, Israel says, okay guys, we give you 10 seconds to go. Okay, now it's time. And then they bomb them, and like, this is a joke for them. They think it's a game. Like, it's kids and children, and they have it, and they accuse, and they say that, okay, because three or four settlers, they were abducted in the city of Al-Khalil, which is in the West Bank, and this is the reason why we're attacking. That's in the West Bank. Why are they attacking Gaza then? It's a different city, for God's sakes, you know? So the amount of time that Israel gave people to evacuate was within less than a minute. So, and we know that this is the mentality of Shaitan, man. Like, they're not even, they're showing their ignorance. You know, there's a difference between nifaq and pure kufr. They're showing the ignorance. They tell them that we give you, you know, a few seconds. You know, imagine if there's a fire to break down. Somebody comes and says, okay, everybody, the women and children, the guys in the front, you guys get out in 5 seconds. Who's gonna get out in 5 seconds? You're probably gonna start making dua or something. Maybe somebody can trip because they're worried. This is a joke for them. Another event that happened. Three other children were wounded, one of them critically in the attack, which fired from Israel naval shelling near the port area of Gaza. And the kids, it was reported that some of the kids were playing soccer on the beach, far away from Al-Khalil, right? Where they accused, you know, people to abduct them, and that's the reason why. Well, they fired innocent people on the beach. And it was reported that after they started to take some of the bodies, subhanAllah, the kids with the journalists, they started playing soccer with them. I mean, like, this is the environment they're growing up in. They're getting immune to this crap, you know what I'm saying? They're used to this now. So there are some scenes of anguish at the nearby Al-Shifa hospital as the parents of the victims heard of the attack. So subhanAllah, the parents, when they saw their kids in the hospital, they don't say, Assalamu alaikum ya habibi. They don't say, hello my prince. They're saying, my son, you know, my son. And they're crying this, and that's their salam to their kid. So not like our salam today when they get out of madrasa and we can give them a gift or something. No, we're okay, alhamdulillah, right now. The four victims that were named was Ahad, Atif Bakr, Zakaria Ahad Bakr, both were 10 years old, Muhammad Ramiz Bakr, he was 11, and Ismail Muhammad Bakr, he was 9. Zakaria's father rushed to the hospital after hearing of the attack, only to learn that his son was killed. And Zakaria says that he was my only son, he died with his cousins and they all died together. And subhanAllah, it just came to me that the couple days ago, found out from a brother that the grandmother, you know, of the child that passed away, so she was saying that her son, which is the child's father, who had only one son who passed away, she was saying that he used to always tell me, he had eight daughters, subhanAllah, it's a ni'mah. He had eight daughters, and he always used to say that inshallah I'll have a son. And alhamdulillah he did, and it's the Jewish entity, the Israeli state, that ended up killing him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give for them the highest level of Jannah, and everyone else who's been going to the suffering. All right, Wednesday's strikes brought the Palestinian death toll, at that time, which was the 9-day conflict, it was about 213, and today is about 290, so within just a few days, we're talking about almost 100 people getting killed. And the amount of wounds that there are is over 2,000 now. By that time, it was 1,600. And now it's far over 2,000 people that are wounded. And it's not only, subhanAllah, it's not only the people, the general population that are being attacked. A lot of the media is covering that the journalists, right? The journalists, the hospitals, and the radio stations, they're getting bombed too. So they don't really care about the people. They care about attacking them and whoever in the world can help them. So whether it's the hospital, you know, whether it's a rock, you know, whatever it is, they annihilate everything. And they said about 80% of the electricity now has been destroyed. And the sewage now is coming out of the sewage, so there's no more clean water. So this gives rights to disease on the people. So it's no longer attack, it's destroying the infrastructure of Gaza and itself. And on the Israeli side, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's been one confirmed death from their end, so we can see the balance of justice here, right? And the Egyptian media is blaming the resistance of the Palestinian. This nifaq, this salul that we're talking about. And this is outright, you know, ignorance, jahil from Egypt. And they're the closest ones to them. Israel claims that three Jewish settlers were abducted and killed. Until today, there's no hard evidence. Number one, there's no hard evidence. And there's no official investigation on this accusation that they put against the Muslims. And in this context, all of that which has been said so far, America, the little land that we live on, it gives them the green light to defend themselves, officially, to Israel. It says, you guys are on the right, and you should defend yourself. If that means to kill people, then kill them. If that means to destroy hospitals, then destroy them. It's fine. You know, you want freedom, right? Destroy them. There's a kid. There's videos. Yesterday, there was a video in Gaza, and literally, a kid is walking, and there's an Israeli soldier on one side, and another soldier on the other side. The kid's father is in front of him, taking a video, and he's saying, what did the kid do? It's a very simple question. And so the guy in front of him, the Israeli soldier, he put his head down and he couldn't say anything. And they just grabbed the kid by the arm, by the neck, dragging him. He's crying. He's running out of breath, so he kind of pauses crying, but he's still crying, you know. So he's saying, that's fine, you can go ahead and do that. That's fine. They abducted three people. We don't have proof, right? But you can go ahead and kill 290 people. And then one of you guys died, that's fine, that's okay. Marish, we'll let that slide. So now, inshallah, let's go through some of the quotes of the Muslim or so-called Muslim political figures. The Egyptian military regime, as usual, it's not the first time, but as usual, they were not able to offer more than its usual empty words. They're garbage words, zibal, like gumama, whatever you want to call it, whatever language. They weakly plead to the Israelis to calm down. And they say Egypt condemns these hostilities, which led to the killing and injury of tens of Palestinians, and calling on Israel to stop all collective punishment. And Egyptian media is blaming the resistance also, again, and Palestine rather than blaming the aggressor. Let's keep in mind what the Prophet ﷺ said in situations like this.
He says, whoever protects the honor of his brother, Allah will protect his face from Jahannam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Anfal, but if they seek your aid in the deen, it is your duty to help them. And there's a saying in English, you know, they say like, desperate calls call for desperate measures. So the severity of whatever act is being taken, the amount of effort that should be taken to stop it, it should be the same as the aggressors have been doing. So with that note, only the armies, based on armies attacking civilians, only the armies can defend an army of occupation. The Arab countries surrounding Palestine have sufficient force to liberate the usurped land and end the oppression of the people, with over 2 million soldiers spending over $100 billion on arms annually. And Egypt alone has over 200 F-16 fighter planes and 450,000 soldiers. And on another note, the Jordanian officials arrested 3 Shabab from Hizb al-Tahrir, from the same family, one father, 2 sons, all of them for delivering lectures to motivate the people, to support the people in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them and anyone who takes that spot and goes through the same type of trial, inshallah.
You gotta forgive me, my mouth is getting dry.
Now let's go to the Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman. He says that Western countries and Western supporters of the Zionists must adopt a firm stance to prevent a humanitarian catastrophe in Palestine. And that's kind of interesting that he says, we know for sure the protection from British and America on Israel. He's saying Western countries and supporters of the Zionists must adopt a firm stance to prevent a humanitarian catastrophe when they're the one that started it. Why would you ask why would you ask help from them if they're the one that caused it? It's like if a doctor comes in and he finds out that a patient has a disease and he has an injection, and let's say the disease is X and he has a cure. The cure is X, so we could go ahead and put the injection in it just to make him even sicker and sicker. Have these impotent regimes not heard the U.S. State Department spokesman, Jen Psaki, who stated, no country should be expected to stand by while rocket attacks from a terrorist organization are launching into their country and impacting innocent civilians, which is a bold-faced lie. Obama is supporting the attack on Gaza that killed innocent children, knowing that not even a single child in Israel was killed. He supports the killing of innocent. He supports the killing of journalists. He supports the killing of the destruction of hospitals and the destruction of rehabilitation centers, the destruction of radio stations. In a nutshell, he supports the killing of help in general, any type of help. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the wiping away of the world means less to Allah than a believer to be killed unjustly. He would rather see the world be turned over and destroyed than seeing one woman, one, not a city, not even a race, not even a family, not even a couple, but one believer to be unjustly killed as better than the whole world and everything in it. And knowing this hadith, the understanding and its significance should allow a person to understand that the Prophet ﷺ said, no Muslim man will desert a man who is a Muslim in a place where his respect may be violated and his honor aspersed without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserting him at a place where he wishes his help. And no Muslim man who will help a Muslim in a place where his honor may be aspersed and his respect violated without Allah helping him at a place where he wishes his help. And the Prophet ﷺ says in Sahih Bukhari, a Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. He neither wrongs him, nor does he hand him over to someone who will wrong him. So these are some of the current events that have been happening in Palestine. We do not want to shortchange. Maybe there are some families, people in here that know people. We don't want to shortchange and say that this is what happened in Palestine. No, this is just the tip of the iceberg that's happening in Palestine. And also, let this trigger our mind that, like the brother said, the entire Ummah is burning. It's not only Palestine. But based on events, we must bring this to the forefront. We must discuss this. So inshallah, let's get into the topic of the responsibility of the Muslims. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, I saw the Prophet doing tawaf around the Kaaba. This is a known hadith. This is a very known hadith. But it gives good insight to the believer on the worth of a person, especially a Muslim. He said, I saw the Prophet doing tawaf around the Kaaba, saying, how sweet and good you are, and how sweet is your scent. How great you are, and how great is your sanctity. By the one who the soul of Muhammad is in his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sanctity of a believer is greater with Allah than your sanctity. And this hadith was said by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as every hadith, because he lived it. If we just go through the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many, what happened to him and prophets before him? What happened to the prophets? Were they all able to establish a state with protection? No. You know, they cried for help, you know, day and night, and them and their people were persecuted and were kicked out of their homes. The list will go on and on. Well, so the Prophet ﷺ, with him to complete the mission, this is our best example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. So we look at the example that the Prophet ﷺ laid out for us, and Makkah and after Makkah. As the brother mentioned how he reacted to Banu Qaynuqa, this hadith was lived and acted upon by the Khulafa al-Rashideen. How Mu'tasim reacted, rahmatullahi alayh. How Mu'tasim reacted when the sister was abused by a Roman emperor. And this continued by Muslims for the past 1400 years. So let us look at the actions that we'll commit, inshallah. And let us engage ourselves. Number one, what is the job of a Muslim at these times of trials that the Ummah is going through? Number one, we have to engage ourselves and those who we know in what? Number one, in creating public awareness. There may be a lot of people that don't know. So we have to create this awareness. We have to shake the community and let them know that this is happening today and there's people that don't deserve this. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them to justice. But that will be by the people's hand. So if they're not gonna act, it will take longer for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring them to justice. So when we are doing this, inshallah, our intention and our act is to defend the Muslims there, and to defend the Muslims in China, and to defend the Muslims in Syria, and to defend the Muslims in Pakistan, or in China, or in the Central Republic of Africa. So to engage discussion amongst the people that we know. And just think about, quick example, you have two people, right? Let's say person A or B, or group A or B. And given the norm of the society that we're living in, technology, you guys can answer this. How many possibilities is it for one to talk to the other? Or for the other to talk to one? How many possibilities are there for somebody to talk to somebody? You can speak to them in person. There's a phone. There's email. There's Facebook. There's conferences. There's protests. So there's so many ways you can convey a message. And each one of these methods are all halal, and each one of these methods should be undertaken by the person wishing to take the action. So if it means to go onto Facebook, there's a lot of groups, by the way. Last week on Saturday, I was in downtown with some brothers, and there was a protest going on for Palestine. And the brother asked me, do you want to go? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Before we go, what's the whole theme? I understand we're free Palestine, but who's organizing, or what's the main purpose? And the person said, we're there to speak out about, against the oppression. I'm like, mashallah, good. And I'm like, so what's your plan after? Like, and then he says that, well, they're going to ask support from Obama. So then I said, jazakallah khair, may Allah reward you for the sincerity. He asked me, brother, if there's no khilafah, What are you supposed to do in a time like this when you cannot get protection from somebody? And I just asked him a question back. I'm saying, the one who hits you, would you ask him for help? And then he smiled, like subhanAllah, sometimes they don't know what's going, they don't know what's, you know, there's an ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people of Fir'aun oppressed them, and they ended up supporting him because of the blindness. They don't know truly that someone needs to come and shake them and tell them that brother, Obama is their brother, you know what I'm saying? He's not even, he's the stepfather because the British began and he took after. That's a step parent. Why the heck are you going to ask him for help? That's just stupidity, and a'udhu billah to say this, but this is a blindness, you know? I don't want to say someone mukman, you know, these are Muslims, alhamdulillah, but this is danger. We'll say this is danger for them. And we care about them because they pray like we do. They face the qibla like we do, so we care for them. There is a natural care and empathy that we have for Muslims. For non-Muslims also, we should care, but for Muslims, we must make sure we engage them and have that as a ijma', as a consensus amongst the ummah, as we begin at least here for now, as the ummah continues around the world. So with that, you can. There's possibilities of protest. Excuse me. Protest, social network, email, phone. One concept to bring out was donations. All these actions, obviously, you know, no one standing up here is going to say it's halal. You know it's halal better than me. So to give a donation is halal. You know this. The problem is when you're giving a donation, and I'm hearing this from people who gave donation and will end up getting a message from Syria saying that all the money that was sent and never got to the people there. You know, and there's no accusation or blame on anyone. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam in brackets, you know. So, you know, at the end of the day, even if the money gets to them, let's suppose that all of the money gets to them, right? Brothers and sisters, since 1948, right? Since 1948, the Muslims in Palestine, they have gotten billions and billions of dollars. And what's happening today? So I mean, we can continue talking about it, but that's going to be a waste of time. For the answer is not, it's not money, it's not anything physical. And also, there was actually a discussion being taken place on Facebook between two brothers. One brother says, so I was talking to a guy who went out protesting for Gaza. And I went to him, and he quotes, the guy says, we have been protesting for the longest time, he replied. It's better than nothing. So the guy says, so I guess if we're not protesting, then we must be doing nothing. Someone replied to him, and he says, I think people don't know what to do. They feel guilty for what is going on, and they feel helpless, like I can't do anything about it. So why don't I just go out there, show my support, you know, like in a gathering, and see if that helps somehow. He says, that's the most we can do. So protesting, continuing the quote, so protesting is the only thing they can see that will help. It gives a false sense of accomplishment. This is what he is saying, this is his opinion, this is a discussion between two. And this is his answer to the first person. They're not going to comment on that. Inshallah, I will close. Ultimately, brothers and sisters, ultimately, we know, and they know, and when I say they, I mean the kuffar. You know, I mean Israel, America, you know, all of the people who have been cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu al-Azim, wa wallahu Rabbul Ka'aba. They know that the Khilafah is coming, and they know that it's coming, and even Kissinger said, he even said that Israel is not going to last more than 10 years. Brother, this is known, and they know that. It's not a secret. So why don't we stop acting like it's a secret and don't feel shy to go out and let the people know that eventually it's going to be over with. But while it's here, let us get our reward. Because when it's gone, we're going to be crying and wish we would have done something different back then. So ultimately, the Khilafah will liberate Gaza and will return her to her natural resting place. An example of this, beautiful example, known example, prime example, golden example, Sultan Abdul Hamid II, may Allah be pleased with him, and how he dealt with the Zionists when they tried to buy Palestine. When he said, please advise Dr. Herzl, the Zionist, not to make any serious move in this matter, I cannot give up even one small patch of land in Palestine. It is not something that I own. It is not something that I own, being the Amir al-Mu'mineen. I don't own it. It is not something that I own as a part of my personal estate. Palestine, in fact, belongs to the Muslim nation as a whole, the Muslim Ummah. My people is continuing the court. My people have fought with their blood and sweat to protect this land. Let the Jews keep their millions. And once the Khilafah is torn apart one day, then they can take Palestine without a price. To have the scalpel cut my body into pieces is less painful than to witness Palestine being detached from the Khilafah. And this is not going to happen while I'm alive. And we know, we've seen from the history after the Khilafah fell, that's exactly what happened. They were able to take it without a price. Now this is for the Muslims. This is for knowledge that will benefit us. And to understand and clarify amongst one another and those who we know. As for the kuffar, represented by their states and their authorities, the enemies of this ummah, the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, let's send them a clear message today and regurgitate one ayah of the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ أَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادٌ إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and not let the disbelievers, don't even let them think for a second that our postponing of their punishment is good for them. We postpone the punishment only so that they may increase in sinfulness, so that Allah, in other words, so that Allah can punish them harder, harder than what He has planned. Let them continue and it will hit them harder. And for them is a disgraceful torment, inshallah. So I want to end with the last comment, my dear brothers and sisters, youth and elder, to know that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the kuffar from day one, they have purchased their akhirah for a miserable price. And in the end, our return is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu fiikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.